Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Usually I have my beautiful co-host, Nicole. She's the engineer. She's my producer joining me. Tonight, she got unexpectedly called away, so it's going to be me and you against the world. We're going to see just how technically advanced I am. Anyway, I see we have a lot of callers, and those of you who are familiar with this show, I am the Romance Whisperer. I do give spiritual advice, love advice, and I do speak to those who have crossed over. So I'm going to go right to our first caller who's been waiting very patiently. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, this is Cindy, and who is this?
Adanya.
Hi, Adanya. I'm so glad you're joining us. You have something weighing heavy on your soul that you want to share with our listeners. Everybody loves hearing from people, and we all seem to have the similar problems in our lives. So what's on your mind tonight?
Well, what's very interesting is there's actually a few things, but I'll try and narrow it down since I know you've got a busy switchboard. I guess the main thing is really stepping into my power and being more of service as a Reiki master. I went to an event this past weekend, and based on what I was doing for other people, very, very small, mini sessions, they were like, why aren't you doing this more? And I'm not really sure if that's just a block or part of this journey. Something's holding me back because I just feel relationship-wise, and not just relationship by way of intimate relationships, but I don't know, I think there's just something maybe subconscious that's holding me back from really putting myself out there.
And exactly. You're an older soul, by the way. You've had
you're
many,
not the
many
first
lifetimes.
Person to tell me that, Cindy.
You've had many, many lifetimes. And old souls have a couple of fatal flaws. One of them is they have too much humility. Mm-hmm. They don't need to learn humility. They are the living embodiment of it. It makes them not very good marketers of their skills. They have trouble promoting themselves. That's why in the powers that be in government, the television shows are so poor, so bad, because the people who are the younger souls, much more manipulative, much more, able to bullshit their way to the top, are usually doing better. So part of it is that you're not so good at marketing your skill.
Yeah,
and what I had to learn, and when I had to promote my book, which made me very uncomfortable, I don't really like talking about myself, I don't like doing any of that, was the universe said, you're not promoting you. You believe in the ideas that you spent 4 years channeling, writing about. You're promoting the ideas. If you could translate that to you're promoting your skill and your healing ability, it's really not you. You might be a little more comfortable. And old souls are also afraid of their own power.
Right.
We're extremely powerful. Usually we pick people that are very disempowering of us. So in terms of relationships, that's probably why you're kind of walking away from a lot of relationships, because you tend to pick people who disempower you.
Yes.
We tend to pick people we need to rescue and fix, because old souls think, oh, good, we're going to fix everybody. You've got to get rid of that idea. You know, that's our own form of narcissism. I mean, who am I to think I can fix anybody? Like, knock that off. So we're not going to be fixers anymore. And sometimes we're not good judges of character because we've been brainwashed over the last 10 lifetimes, which is the Judeo-Christian tradition teaching us to see the good in people. We have to see the bad and the ugly as well. So sometimes we don't even want to get involved in relationships because we don't pick the best people.
Right.
So you are really afraid of your own power.
Yes.
And you're not going to misuse it. We have had powers much more than we have even in this lifetime, and we did misuse them. Why not? It's like, wow. I can really go far with this, you know. This lifetime, we're not only not going to misuse our powers, we're underutilizing them.
Mm.
So if you could turn over your Reiki and your career, your love life over to God by pretty much saying, you know, I've chosen most of my life myself, and I haven't done such a great job of it.
Right.
I'm turning it over to you and guide my steps.
Okay.
And you were meant to hear those people saying, oh, my God, you're so good at what you do. Oh, my God, you're healing. You have powers. And if you can understand, with great psychic powers or healing powers comes great responsibility.
Right.
I never misuse my powers. I'm very careful with that. I try to give, and I try to, you know, step back. If it's something I can't help with, I'm very honest in saying that's not my strength. You know, I'm not
okay.
a medical intuitive. I'm not going to be able to help you with that issue. Know your own skills, but this is going to be your lifetime. I see you making very good money with what you do.
Okay.
God knows we need money, okay? We can't, you know. I mean, I don't care how enlightened you are. You're going
right.
to starve if you have no food, and you're going to freeze to death if you have no shelter.
Right.
So remember, we're mastering not only the spiritual world, but the material world. It's a very hard lifetime.
Right.
It's a very hard lifetime. We as women can't hide under the wings of men who supported us. We have to, you know, make our own living, stand on our own 2 feet.
Okay.
But you're going to become very enlightened if you allow it to be.
Okay.
You're extremely well-spoken. You can, you have a good energy surrounding you. It's jumping out of the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would just know that you're destined to have a very loving relationship.
Okay.
It's all linked together. So follow your steps toward your career because your soulmate's linked to your career.
Okay.
Let go of the past relationship, which was really disempowering. Admit that you...
Which one? I'm joking.
There's a couple of them here. But
exactly.
But understand that we chose these people.
Right,
we
I know.
We stayed too long. We had our own errors in thinking. We allowed these people to disempower us. Bless them for the lessons they taught. Let them go because the
okay.
soulmate's coming. And I hope that you will call us in the future because, you know, as you take that first step forward, your whole life is going to change.
Very
and
nice.
Again, market your Reiki skills. They're needed.
Okay.
They're necessary. I mean, Jesus did hand-on healing, which was Reiki.
Right.
So, you know, get in touch with your powers and start marketing them a little bit.
Okay.
And don't feel guilty because it's a spiritual thing. You know, we get feeling like, oh, should I charge for this? It's spiritual. Well, that's your job. You know what I mean? And more of us in the new millennium are going to do spiritual jobs.
And that was my big crux is that I was like, well, maybe I should only do it by donation, you know, because you know, it should be available to everybody, and I shouldn't have a set price. And I've really been struggling
and
with that. And right now,
that
I'm marketing it where it, without a set price.
This is a new millennium skill.
Right. Okay.
Market it like any other. I'm very fair in my pricing, and I have a lot of clients that get free readings. They're not working. They're this. I said, you'll pay me when you can, but you know, I pick and choose that. But
okay.
for the most part, my price is fair, and people willingly pay for my services. I willingly pay for my dentist or my doctor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they deserve
true.
To be paid. I willingly pay for the landscaper. They have a skill I don't want to do. So, you know, I barter. You know, I sometimes barter for a massage or something else. So, you know, there are things that you'll do, but start coming up with a price, a fair price. See what's the
okay.
fair market price and stay within it.
Okay.
Well,
that
good luck to you. We
have
about 8,000 callers, and Nicole's not
nope.
here. So
thank you so much, Cindy. I appreciate
it. Please call us in the future.
I will. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, I'm moving over to the next caller. So far, so good. I haven't screwed up this so far. Okay, you're on the air. I'm Cindy, and who's there?
Hello, Cindy. This is Frank in California.
Hi, Frank. How is things going?
Well, things are going steady. They really are. I went back to court.
Good.
And my sibling didn't show up.
Not surprised.
You're not surprised. I believe you.
Not surprised because I feel like that would show more courage than they have to face you face to face. You know, and
yeah.
So what happened in the court? And those, let me just...
attorney made his arguments regarding the discovery documents that they're incomplete. And the judge granted us to go ahead and subpoena the records from the bank accounts or wherever we need to go.
Wow. So let me just tell our listeners who aren't familiar. Frank had to do something very brave. He had to attack the inner circle. That's the family members who rob us and hurt us. It's often the older souls, just as our last listener was an older soul. Older souls are very good. They're people of integrity. They are, you know, turn the other cheek. They forgive too quickly. And we've allowed the more manipulative older souls to get away with murder. And in this lifetime, we're asked to take them to court. So Frank has done that, and now you're going to subpoena. And how are you feeling?
I feel relaxed. The next time we go to court is in October.
Wow. And it's going to go very well. And you know, we're asked to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, not to be mean, not to be ugly and vindictive, but to go after what's ours. And,
yes.
You know, I feel that you're growing. From the first time you called to now, I really feel you feeling empowered. Has the guilt left you, the unearned guilt that you were feeling?
Yes. Yes, it has. I just released it. But the thing is, I still sit down, and then I think, and then after the wing of my path in life, the anger comes in, and then I try to put that away and just let it go. It's so hard. I'm still working on myself. I'm meditating, and I'm just trying to get more into nature.
Good, because that will help you. But also, you know, for our older souls out there, we're not very good at expressing anger or feeling it as a valid emotion. We tend to be more in touch. You've betrayed me. You've hurt me. I feel angst. I feel mourning and loneliness. We feel real emotions. But when anger is the right emotion, when someone has hurt us or robbed us or raped us or hurt us in any way, we have a right to feel anger. So I think you can get in touch with that anger a little bit and not suppress it, because when we turn it inward, it can become depression, which you were feeling depressed, but I noticed you don't sound it now. But we can also turn it into cancer or disease. So, you know, allow yourself to feel a little bit of anger and don't try to squelch it down so much. You know, let it out.
Yes. What is going on with her energy or her body or her health?
She just can't believe it. You just stunned her. She's really, you know, telling everybody what a rat you are, by the way, and bad-mouthing you. And, you know, just know that old souls like everybody to like them. Not everybody's going to like us. So you did what you had to do. And she is trying to think of how she's going to win this case, but it doesn't look very promising for her. So, you know, just know that you've learned not to be loyal to people who don't deserve your loyalty. And,
yes.
You know, and that's the big lesson here.
Yes.
Loyalty is earned. I am loyal to those family members and those friends who are good to me, who are honest to me, and who treat me well. If you're going to hurt me, I'm not going to be loyal to you. And, boy, is that a big lesson. You know, and don't worry about her too much. You have, you know, your mom up there. You have everybody who loves you up there watching over you. It's going to hurt you a little bit during it, but go in there with strength. And, you know, I know you loved her when you were growing up. I can see that in the cards. You don't have to stop loving her, but you don't have to allow her in your life. And you're not doing this. Your intention, remember, is not to hurt her, but she needs to understand that it's not okay to steal from those people who trust us. It's really not good. So I'm wishing you well, and please let us know how it goes. And I'm so glad to hear your energy is so, so good now.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. I couldn't have done it without people like you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm sorry Nicole's not here to hear this. I will email her and tell her that you're doing well. She told me how to run the switchboard, so far so good. Keep praying that I don't mess it up.
Okay.
With a little help from our friends. Well, good luck to you, and we have another caller I'm going to pick up right now. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Miss.
Hello.
Hello, this is Cindy. Is this TJ?
Hi, Cindy. Yes, it is TJ. How are you?
Good. I'm doing pretty good here. I'm just, you know, so far so good.
It's amazing how the work you've done with Frank. Listen, when is that book thing in East Hampton that you're going to be at, the author's thing?
Okay, it's going to be August 14th, 5 to 7, and I'm hoping everybody will come because it's quite an honor. Last year you and I went, and I really wanted to be one of the people vending there. So do you know some of the authors?
Who are some of the authors that are going to be there?
Okay, we're going to have Stuart Wood is going to be there. Candace Bushnell from Sex and the City. You know, we all love her. There is also going to be some of the Real Housewives of New York there, like Jill Zarin and the Countess. So that should be fun. And there's a really lot of other authors. So anybody could go to the website, which is East Hampton Library.
Isn't Alec Baldwin going to be there?
Oh, Alec Baldwin, of course. How could I forget him? Yeah, he's going to be there. So he's everywhere. So,
so when is that?
August 14th, 5 to 7. And
now,
I can't
wait.
Is there
a charge to get in?
It's $75 a person, but it's donation for the library. And East Hampton's one of the few libraries in the country that's totally sponsored by donors. So,
right.
You know, it's a good contribution. And they do serve
food. Yeah, last year where we saw Barbara Walters was there and all sorts of. And the thing is that they all sign the books. So if you want to have a really special gift from, you know, either Stuart Woods or one of these other major authors, you just perfect for giving a really, really special gift. Anyway,
and
I'm
you know that one of my
you.
Clients just emailed me and asked if I would get a book for her son signed from him because he loves Stuart Woods. And also, they do serve food. There was really nice food and wine, so you know you do get to eat there as well. So. And I have
right, well, anyway,
CJ, are you my date for that?
Yes, I'm your date for that, and I'm on my way home and from work. But I'm really enjoying tonight's show, and I'll let you take the next. You have the next caller there.
We have about 1,000 of them. So anyway,
right, so,
CJ's my fiance.
Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know, also Cindy agreed to marry me, so I'm a real lucky guy. All right, anyway, ciao for now.
Okay, bye, DLC. See you at home. Thanks for
all
calling.
Right,
okay, since I haven't seen TJ all day, that was a good call. Hello, this is Cindy, and who is this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Cindy, and who is this?
My name's John.
Hi, John, and where are you calling from?
I'm out of Shingle Springs, California, up in the Sierra Nevadas.
Wow, so we have a lot of California people. I like that because our show's a little later here for us in the eastern seaboard, but for you, it's still pretty early.
Yep. Just sitting right outside looking at my garden growing, so.
Wow. I know. I'm just looking out at the weeds in my garden thinking, there needs to be somebody out there helping me with that garden. Anyway, and it's very little, and it looks very sad. So anyway, you're calling from California. Do you have something heavy on your soul tonight that you would like to share with us?
Something on my soul?
Yep, or on your mind or your heart.
Well, today's the first day I've recovered my voice. I lost my voice for a week. I'm a Blog Talk host here myself, and I just saw you, and I got a feeling I should call.
Good.
and
you lost your voice, huh? Hmm.
Yeah, I lost my voice. Yeah,
wow.
And,
well, did you go into voice rest for a while?
Yeah, I did. I do. I you know, I've got a radio voice, and the problem was that just I don't know what the heck it was all about, but I have a feeling I was supposed to learn to listen really well.
Hey,
and,
you know what? There's a mind-body connection there, and anyone who knows me will know that I was an entertainer, and I use my voice a lot, and I actually had nodes on my vocal cords, which were supposed to be surgically removed, and anybody who knows me, I don't let anybody take a knife to me, so I asked, what can I do? And my doctor said, you have to go into voice rest. So what I did was only talk when I went to work. And otherwise, I wrote notes, signed, and didn't talk at all. And during that period of time, amazing things happened. I began to hear dead people, channel information, go into enlightenment training, and it was very important to be quiet and to silence the chatter. And so if the message is sometimes, there is an expression that we have one mouth and two ears. That means we're supposed to listen twice as much as we should talk. So it might be something that you are learning to listen, and do you feel like you got the message? Because they probably won't take your voice away again if you get it.
I think so, because I'm clairaudient, and I'm really intent. I made a decision just before this happened to become a medium. And I've had things my whole life that have gone on, and part of my show is about basically speaking with people.
Can you tell our audience
through,
what your show
EVP.
Is, and I will. What is your show? Because I'm sure that you're. What's the name of it? On Blog Talk
well,
Radio.
It's called Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio, but we have Thursday nights or soul streaming nights, and I have an ability to draw in spirits through EVP, and we've had just a fantastic time with it. But I've been getting this call to do mediumship, and so I made that decision, and as soon as I did, I lost my voice.
Well, I need to tell you, that's the first step, because after I spent about 3 or 4 months hardly talking, suddenly the experience of enlightenment and seeing things clearer, it was like being a monk almost, you know what I'm saying? So without that, it actually lasted about 2 years where I didn't talk much. And at the end of that 2 years, a huge volume of knowledge was channeled to me. So part of the message is to be quiet, to listen. I am like you. I hear it through my ears. It's a thought form that helps me move forward. And now that you realize that you're going to have to be quiet if you want to hear the dead speak, just to do that, your work sounds fascinating. You have a wonderful voice on the radio. I would love to listen to your show, and if you ever need a guest on there who would explain some things about mediumship, I certainly would do that as well.
I would be thrilled to have you on. I'll definitely get in contact with you.
Right, because there's my website is, and for my audience who probably doesn't even know, it's www, and it's called grantmeahigherlove.com. Sort of
okay.
like Steve Wynn would bring me a higher love, except God grants it to us, so grant me a higher love. So I would love to do that, and really everybody can talk to the dead, and I know a lot of my listeners are wondering about that. It's not a special skill. We all had it. We all possessed it in other lifetimes, but the powers that be didn't want us to know we could talk to the dead. Those of us who can talk to the dead can't be lied to. The dead are a camera that follow people around and say, uh-uh, that's not what happened. Mm-mm, let me tell you what they really said and did. interestingly enough, I was on a murder trial as a juror once, and within one day I had to say to the judge, you have to see me in the chambers. And he said, I can't do that. And I said, you're going to have to. And I told him the person who's on trial for that murder did not do it, and this is the person who did it. And he looked at me like I was nuts, got me off the case. And about 6 months later called to say he couldn't get what I said off of his mind, and he had that person arrested. And, of course, that was the person who did it. So, again, when you talk to the dead, you can find out really important information. Also really,
so true,
you know, just fun information like where to buy a cheaper dress or a car, you know. But, again, that was why I lost my voice. The universe needed me to shut up. They wanted me out of the career that I was in to move into another one. And so if we can see why, when you decided to do this, and part of you were also afraid, because your whole life will change when you talk to the dead. And
it's funny. I've gotten pretty comfortable. I think the fear has been, I work in propulsion science. I'm actually a rocket scientist. And so I'm
for real.
I'm making it for real. I'm
Are
a
you
real
one of
rocket
those people
scientist.
With a bumper sticker that says, "Well, I am a rocket scientist."
That's actually true. But it's I do. I grew up in the business, and my I didn't go into the actual building the motors and engines we build. But I'm actually a senior corporate webmaster for my company, and been there 25 years, and I can see the end coming. And I think the fear you're talking about is the fear of the change.
It is a fear. And what you can do just for you, and anybody who wants to talk to the dead out there, what I did was when it started coming, I was really scared because I was already in my 40s, pretty grounded, you know, and at first I thought I was going nuts, and then I realized if you don't go nuts by the time you're 40, you're not going nuts. You bypass that part of it, you know. So I started to say, okay, and they were very funny. Dead people are extremely funny, and they were making me laugh, and they were making my life easier, and everything that was revealed to me was quite helpful, and I said, whatever it is, you bring it on, but don't show me evil. That was my first thing. I don't want to see evil. I don't want to go there. So for about 10 years, I didn't see evil, and then one day I prayed for greater enlightenment, and pretty much the universe says, well, now you got to see evil. It exists. And I do see some things that, you know, are not so great, but they can't hurt me, can't harm me. And so You know, you can tell the universe how much you want and what you don't want, and they're really cooperative. So, you know, they won't bring you on more than you can handle. They'll test you. They'll see if you say back off a little bit. They do back off. And I will tell you, I would rather talk to dead people than the living, because they respect my boundaries. They know that they're not to talk to me when I'm just relaxing. They leave me alone. They respect when I'm tired. They tell me to rest. And they guide and watch over me. So, you know, the living don't always shut up. You know, you ask them to be quiet, you're tired, you have a headache, and they go on hammering at you, you know. So, dead, back off, you know what I'm saying? And my favorite are the teenagers and the children, because they're filled with the same energy of a teenager. You stay with that energy when you die. If you die young, you have that. So my favorite are the young, to be honest with you. They are just so funny and so helpful. So I hope you will email me about your show, and can you once again tell the listeners where they can listen to your show? Because I have a lot of clients that love the paranormal and really into that, you know, and to make you laugh, the universe prepared me for everything by being an entertainer, and one of the characters I portrayed for about 4 years was to be a Ghostbuster at kids' parties. Ha ha.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was faking in those days, but I guess we're real Ghostbusters now.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. I if you told me 3 years ago I'd be getting into this, I would have said you're out of your mind, and now here I am. And you know, yeah, I run Ghost Rider Paranormal out of Shingle Springs, not far from Sacramento, and our show is on. I do interviews on Sunday evenings, 8 o'clock to 9:30. You're on Blog Talk, and it's www.blogtalkradio.com/ghostrider. And then on Thursday nights, I do the Soul Stream show, where we bring people on, and I do. We got away from calling it readings. We do Soul Streams,
okay.
Bringing souls through and doing on-air EVP analysis. And it's just like what you've talked about with talking to the dead. They're extremely funny. They're extremely well-mannered. 99% of the time, I don't have any trouble. It's just amazing. I'm going to write a book about the stories, because I just cannot believe the things that have happened. And I've done criminal stuff. We've had lost people, lost loves, you name it. It's come through the door. And when I do the shows, I'm just amazed. It's just unbelievable what spirit will do. So,
and that's what I love it, and I recommend it to anybody. And I don't really like shows like the Ghost Whisperers, which make it look really scary, and only a few brave should go here. It's really the dead want to talk, and the energy is love, and that's the energy that it travels on. And the more you open your heart to love, the more they will talk to you and come through. So. It is important. They do need to make amends. They do need to tell what they taught wrong, so that you can, you know, especially when they told you, you know, you've made your bed, sleep in it, stay with this bastard who's that mean to you. They have to come through to say, I taught you something wrong. And that makes amends for their souls and, of course, helps heal ours. So it's a healing thing to be doing. And
yes,
I do appreciate that you called in. You have such good energy. I look forward to listening to your show, and you really made ours very, very interesting tonight.
Okay, Cindy. Well, thank you very much.
And since
God
I don't have my usual co-host, Nicole, I was like, thank you for helping me tonight. See, I said, God, please send somebody to help me tonight. Please. I'm here by myself. I never do this by myself. So.
Oh, you're doing great, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you so much. And good luck to you. And we hope to that you'll call us in again and let us know some of your soul stories that you've learned.
Okay, I will. All right.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. God bless.
Okay, now let's moving on here. We've got a Long Island person. Let me see what they want to say today. Hi, this is Cindy. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, this is Cindy, and who is this?
This is Meg.
Hi. Do you have something you want guidance on or something you want to share with us, some insight?
Yes. This past year I went through a divorce and I moved and, you know, just going through a lot of changes. And I'm at like a cross in the road where I have to make some decisions. And I'm just wondering, I do feel there's some energy is kind of helping me make decisions sometimes, and you know, my relatives in heaven.
And they do, and they're actually there to support you during this harder time. And you did take the first step toward choosing a better life. Are you aware of that?
Yes. I actually went to a psychic over a year ago, and he said, "You're so sad." And they said, "All your relatives are here." And they said, "Divorce him." And I didn't believe it because, you know,
they wouldn't have told you that on Earth.
No, never.
And I need to tell you, what was channeled recently to me is that women, I know that in their collective unconscious, women do believe they're property of men because we go from the, you know, our fathers to our husbands. And it started because of the dowry. Men really had to buy us from our fathers. So here this guy comes with a whole lot of money, gives it to your father, and then, you know, he sells you. So when all of a sudden you realize this guy's an idiot, you want to come back home, your father didn't want to give back money. So it wasn't like they said, okay, you made your bed, sleep, and you have to stay. But it was really over money. So that thinking that we're owned by men is very deep in women. Yeah. And here, you know, the relatives really were, you know, went down, especially Italians or patriarchal, you know, cultures, believing that, you know, we're property of our husbands. They told us we made our bed, sleep in it. Those are the people, I'm surrounded by thousands of them every day saying that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That is so wrong. And to God, a marriage is not that piece of paper we signed. It's two people who love each other, heart, soul, mind, and body. And so anything less than that is not a true marriage. So, you know, it looks like you really went through some hard times in your marriage. You know, this man was a pretty emotional cripple. And,
yes.
You know, your money is going to be better for you, by the way. I know you're working hard at coining these cards and you're worried. But something new and better is on the horizon. Are you looking for a better job?
Actually, job isn't my concern. I'm more concerned with relationships and the next. You know, I had started seeing someone and I thought he was right for me, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Again, sometimes the lessons we didn't fully learn in our marriage, you might be learning now. One of them is that how do we protect ourselves from people who are very narcissistic and fool us? I call them, those are the princes and the princess that become the beast.
Mm-hmm.
They look good when we first meet them. They're very good listeners, by the way. If you say, my husband cheated on me, he was this, he was that, and they hear us and they go, oh, I would never do that. And, you know, they're busy telling us everything we want to hear, and then they never listen to us again after that. But you can figure out the red flags. You have to see how this person treats other people. Really slick narcissists fool everybody, so they're harder to track. But most of the time, you know, if you don't like the way he treats the waiter, you know, usually it's the way he treats somebody they don't necessarily have to treat well.
Mm-hmm.
But also catching them in little lies is a sign, or something's not adding up, or your gut's just saying, oh, I don't really like what he said, I don't really believe it.
Right.
Did you see some signs with this guy that you didn't like?
No, well, it's kind of a long story, but we were dating for a few months, and then his ex said, I want him back because she saw how happy he was. And then he went back because he has a daughter and wanted to create a family. So, you know, we are still talking. But
I need to tell you that's not good because he's a commitment phobic. He's
got
1 foot with her, 1 foot with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, she got jealous, his wife. And I have to tell our listeners out there, do not mistake jealousy for love. Those of you who've read my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, know there's a whole step about jealousy. Jealousy has nothing to do with love. You can hate somebody, it's the best thing to get rid of them, but they've replaced you and suddenly you feel jealous. She mistook also the jealousy she felt for love.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's claiming to be committed to her, but why is he still talking to you?
Right. It's so he can be with his daughter.
That's the oldest story in the book that people tell us, so they could be with their daughter or whatever. But he would like to have an affair with you. And I don't think that you got out of your marriage to get involved with this.
His
choice, as a sisterhood of women, he has chosen his wife.
Okay.
And, you know, in the laws of karma, I mean, they brought you together because really you guys had a potential to have a soulmate relationship. You really did, according to these cards. You could have loved each other heart, soul.
One time I felt a push from, like, that's why I said I thought my relatives were pushing me toward him.
Because they did bring him to you because they were hoping that, you know, the marriage that he has with his wife is very toxic. Now it's mediocre. It's like a, it's not, they're not maybe screaming at each other and toxic, but it's sort of like a sitcom, like Everybody Loves Raymond with Marie and Frank Barone. They barely like each other and take each other for granted. Mm-hmm. But it's that. They wanted you to have a soulmate love with him so that his daughter could see what real love looks like. Children always have to relive the marriage they saw before the age of five, and those two didn't show a very good marriage.
Yeah.
Now, because it's not toxic and it's mediocre, it looks better. But they didn't really want him to go back with her, because unless that he can, and you can say these words to him, okay, now you're with her, you've got to stick 2 feet in there, your heart, soul, mind, and body, and make this work. And show your daughter that love can goes up and down a ladder. It could get bad and get toxic, and you're going to bring it back up there. But if you're going to go in there and keep it mediocre, because mediocre and toxic love has an unconscious contract that says no matter what you do or I do, we never abandon each other. That means I don't have to grow up. I don't have to heal my issues. He, if he stays with her, he can cheat on her because he doesn't love her all that much. He could say she's a bitch. That's why I cheated on her today. Soulmate love says you got to heal your issues. You got to stop being mean. You've got to stop being a commitment phobic. You've got to put 2 feet in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're if you want to see if he'll come to you, you're going to have to say, you've chosen her and I have to respect that. You need to put 2 feet in this for, you've got a child for 6 months and see if it can work. If the end of that it can't and you've given it your all, then you're going to separate from her and leave her and come to me. But I can't be, you know, you don't want to be where it's the oldest thing in the book where he's got his cake and eat it too. He's got his wife. He's got, you know, the house and the garden and the kid and the, you know, socially acceptable thing and, you know, the mistress on the side.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't come this far toward liberation to be that. So it's not like he couldn't love you, doesn't love you. It's not like he couldn't be soulmate. It's just that Most people run from a higher love. Listen to the songs on the radio as you're driving home. I've heard the songs about the love that got away. Why is that? People can't, they run from a higher love and they stay in toxic and mediocre too long. You did it. How long did you stay in your bad marriage?
Over 10 years, 23 years, but 10 miserable.
Okay, so you can see what I'm talking about. People stay in miserable relationships too long. Their fears of abandonment, their fear of getting out in the real world. When you have a lousy marriage, there's some comfort in it. You don't give a crap what he says. It's just angry. He can't hurt you anymore. If you get out in the real world, you're going to feel real emotions. Right now you're feeling rejected. You're feeling hurt. Your heart's broken. That's real feelings. You know, staying in the marriage, there was some payoff for you. It was a safety place. You had your own anger issues. You know, you had to now grow up, stand on your own 2 feet. There's a lot of things that you did.
Yeah.
But this man is like you 5 years ago. It may take him 5 or 10 years to leave her. You saw how long it took you to leave your husband.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, put it in your mind to give him 6 months and see what he can do. But I would advise you no texting, no talking. He's not your friend. You can't go from being lovers to friends. It just doesn't go that way without, you know, years of, you know, now we don't love each other anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? So as a respect for women, and we as women have to ask, you know, we stand together as a group of sisters, and, you know, you wouldn't want, you know, your husband to be doing this to you. So he does care about you, but let, you know, see what happens and send him love on a soul plane. I'm not saying you can't, you know, have to stop loving or caring for him, but see if he could come to you as, you know, a free man.
Great.
Good luck to you, and thanks
so
much for calling in.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, moving over here, we have a 954 number. I don't have a clue where that is. Hi, this is Cindy, and who is this? Hello?
Hello?
This is Cindy. You're on the air. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Wow, great. I love it there. I've been there many times.
Oh, good.
So I know that you're called in. You must have something you want to share with us or something you need guidance on, and please feel free to just start talking.
Well, I wanted to talk about my ex who passed away.
I know. The death card came up right away as soon as you started talking. You're still in mourning for him?
I miss him. I do miss him.
There's a little bit of sort of guilt surrounding his death, or sort of, you know, not everything was as perfect as it could have been between the two of you. Are you aware of that?
Right.
I need to tell you, the card that came up right next to his death card was a man who, as soon as he crossed over, he realized how much he loved you. And if he could come down now, and he's actually crying, it's very sad, he would be the husband that he should have been and loved you better. Do you feel his presence near you ever?
Sometimes.
Can you understand why he would say he's sorry?
Yes.
And isn't that sad? One of the saddest things about talking to the people that have crossed over is they regret that they were given love and they weren't able to really appreciate it. In some ways, his leaving was a blessing for you. Are you aware of that?
Yes, yes, I am.
Okay, and you shouldn't feel guilty about that, because he's quite honest that he wasn't the world's best husband. And he's saying you're a very strong woman, by the way, and he's proud of the way you're standing on your own two feet. Do you have a specific question? He's also sorry about money. Did you have some money issues surrounding his death?
Yes, I'm really struggling right now.
Okay, and he's sorry about that, by the way. And again, he has regrets. You know, when people die and they haven't provided for us or whatever, they do have those regrets. So those of you out there, you know, if you don't have life insurance, you don't have a will, whatever it is, you know, get it all in order. And what is it that you wanted to ask him? Because he's pretty clear voice. Not all dead people are so clear. He's really pretty clear.
Okay. Is he okay? Did he find peace?
Not yet. Okay. He needs to make some amends up there. He's not in a low realm of heaven, but he's not in a very high one either. He can see all the pain he caused, and he didn't do much to stop it when he was on Earth. He'd like to be moved up a notch or two higher, just even in them speaking to you and the healing that takes place, he could be moved up a notch higher. He's telling you, though, that you have a wonderful 10-year period ahead of you. Pretty much anything you want is yours now. Choose again. Choose a good man. He would like to guide you, someone that's a good husband, a good man, a good business partner, and a good lover to be with. But he's not fully at peace yet. He will earn that right, but not quite yet. He hasn't been dead that long. How long has he been dead?
Since 2003.
Okay. It seems much less than that, because he obviously had a lot to learn, and he's still struggling to learn. He's much more, he has a great deal of humility now and a great deal of regret.
Okay.
But he is sorry for a lot of things. He's saying you're really standing on your own two feet, and he's very proud of you, by the way.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
He's very proud of you. He's a very different man now than he was on Earth, by the way. The good traits that you saw in him are there, and some of the bad ones are really diminishing. It usually takes people upwards of 10 years to even complete their full life review to see everything. They do have to see their actions and the consequences into the future. You know, everything we do is weighed, and you know, as people heal, they get into peace. But know that he loved you. And, you know, he became a man he swore he'd never become, by the way. You were with him a long time?
Yes. I knew him for 11 years.
Okay. And he's asking you to forgive him.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
And in as time goes on, I mean, he's saying you can ask him for help. He will try his best, and, you know, he does
you know, he wishes he could have one day just to sit with you and tell you how good you were. You were very good to him. Are you aware of that?
Oh, that's nice to hear.
And that he wishes,
you know,
he could...
we're very young, you know, so.
Right, and he's just wishing that he could sit with you and tell you that you were a good wife and he would do things very differently. And that's an important thing. Not all dead people say. They're dead people, just they don't learn. I mean, some people, you know, Hitler's not going to learn for 1,000 years, you know.
Right.
He did learn almost immediately when he died. And his death looks like it was pretty, not a very happy death. I mean, it looks pretty bad in these cards.
Yes.
Somewhat could have been prevented from what I can tell here.
Yes, it was a suicide.
Okay, and that's what he's apologetic about. His intention in killing himself wasn't to hurt you by any means. His intention was he just couldn't take it much more. As soon as he killed himself, he realized there are things that he could have seen and could have healed, but there were a couple issues he just that were surfacing in him, by the way, that he couldn't face. Are you aware of any of those?
Yes, yes.
He couldn't face it. And there should be a cemetery a billion big for the things he couldn't face, because there's millions of people that die one way or the other, billions of people. Either they kill themselves, they become a drug addict, they drink themselves to death, they become prostitutes, hookers, whatever. They find somebody to beat them to death. God has compassion for him. But it would have, you know, he realizes there were ways that he could have healed. And for that, he's sorry. So just, you know that those of us who are struggling, and suicide, by the way, does solve nothing. Not only do we take the pain that we didn't process here with us, but now we have to see the pain we've caused others. And suicide is a very selfish act. It hurts those people left behind. That's why there was a lot of guilt surrounding his death for you, but there was nothing you could have done to prevent it. And, you know, if anyone ever thinks, you know, all of us, you know, life gets hard. Most of us are looking at the end of a gun more than one time in our life. My feelings were always that it would hurt those people that love me. They would think they failed me.
Right.
And so, you know, if you think that, you know, anybody who thinks suicide is the way out, you're not only going to take that pain, you know, that sexual abuse, that, you know, physical abuse or emotional abuse that you're not processing here, you're going to take it with you there. So you might as well deal with it here. And you know what? It wasn't your pain. You didn't cause it. Blow it back to those people who did it. It's their pain to process. You heal your issue and you blow it to them and say, it's your pain now. And that's what it's about, blowing the pain back to those people who've done it to us. So, you know, he's crying now. He's so happy to talk to you. Just so you know that, and he promises to give you a sign tomorrow. Pay attention, look around.
Okay. But he does know how much I love him.
Yes, he does. And that, if anybody has love, then please, please find a way to heal your issues. You know, go through that therapy, walk through that dark alleyway. Go there, face those memories you don't want to face. Because at the end of it, you can have a higher love. You know, we can't have anything but toxic love if we're filled with rage and unhealed issues. And now he would be able to. It took him a long time to process a lot of the pain. But I think he's going to rest in peace now. He just wanted to tell you, you couldn't have done anything to stop it. And that he loves you.
And can I ask you something? As for me, I mean, it took a long time for me to heal. Now that I have, do you see the doors opening for a new love?
Yes, I do. And it's funny because when someone who dies leaves us, they're allowed to gift us with one person to love. You have a wonderful guy coming. It's the Knight of Cups, and you're the Page of Cups. That's a young, loving couple. This guy is healed. He doesn't need fixing. Have you overcome your feeling that you have to rescue people and fix them? Because we can't fix people. I mean, I always say it's our own brand of narcissism, old soul. Who am I to think I can fix anybody?
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is a strong man that's coming into the picture, a healed person,
okay.
You know, and you'll make no excuses for their abuse. I don't care what their mommy or daddy did. Knock it off. This is me here today, and I'm good, and don't treat me that way. Can you understand that?
I understand.
And this is a really, really good guy coming. So know that you could not have prevented this. Know that you've earned the right to have a higher love. And look inward, and he's very circling close to you. So, you know, it looks, you know, within the next few months, if you're ready. Are you ready?
Oh, definitely.
And how old are you, by the way?
I'm 41.
Okay, so, you know, the universe sees you as a young woman, by the way, so, and you are. So I'm wishing you lots of luck in your love, and, you know, look inward and, you know, forgive your husband.
Oh, definitely.
Thank you so much.
You
know, and good luck to you. And I think I have time for one or two more callers, so I want to try to move on because we do have like a million people, and Nicole's not here nudging me along. Okay, good luck to you, and thanks for calling. Let us know when your soulmate manifests.
Thank you. God bless.
You too. Okay, moving along to 705 number. I don't know who that is. Hello?
Hello, Cindy.
Who is this?
My name is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
I'm fine. Just a quick question.
Sure.
I met someone, his name is Matt.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering what you see, if he's going to call me.
Okay, let's hope. Matt sounds like that's a good name. Let's see what's with you and Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, certainly liked you, by the way. You seem to talk with him and make a good connection. Are you aware of that?
Mm-hmm.
It looks very promising that he's going to call you. And when did you meet him?
It'll be 5 weeks tomorrow.
Okay. And you haven't spoken to him since in those 5 weeks?
Right.
Okay. Did you think of calling him?
I don't have his number.
Okay. It's not like you didn't connect, because in these cards it should show connection, but when someone meets us and they don't call for 5 weeks, it's not a good sign. I mean, it can be that they're commitment phobics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did connect with you, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the normal course of love is when we meet somebody and we like them is to call them immediately and set something up. And, you know, at this point, I'd give it about another, you know, few days or a week, but are you still out there looking for someone else?
Well, I'm kind of hoping Matt's going to call me. I haven't really been looking, no.
Okay. Again, 5 weeks without calling is a long time, and if Nicole were here, she'd tell you, you know, if somebody loves you, they'll be calling you in a minute or likes you. He did like you, but he's afraid. So, you know, know that if he calls you now, you'd expect not to have 5 weeks go between calls.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have his email or anything?
No.
Okay, because it does show that there was a connection, but he's really scared. And it appears that he has some relationship going on as well, so he might need to terminate that too. Did he talk about that other person with you?
Mm-mm.
So,
no.
He's got a little bit of unfinished business.
Okay.
So, you know, keep getting yourself out there. If somebody likes you, the way it normally works is, you know, what I always, you know, say to a man, what I said to TJ, who's my soulmate, I said, you know, I met him one night, and I said, well, here's my card, the ball's in your court, you know, do with it what you want. And, of course, he called me. I wasn't even home yet to tell me what a wonderful time he had, and then called the next day to set up to come here to meet me. So, you know, keep in mind, if someone is ready for a relationship, they don't wait 5 weeks to call.
Okay.
So, there appears to be something he's got to move out of the way. So is there any way you could run into him again?
Possibly. He lives 20 minutes away from me in a different town. So, and he has friends here. so he comes to see them.
You know, if you, you know, if I were you, I'd try to connect with one of his friends and sort of get back in his, you know, in his circle and see how that goes.
Yeah, I did. I've seen two of them, and I said, can you give out my number to Matt just in case he lost it or something? And they said, yes, they will.
Okay, good. So that's good. So, you know, now let's see what happens in the next few days. But, you know, keep in mind that if someone is ready for a relationship, they don't usually wait 5 weeks to call.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't good. People just really get afraid of love. Sometimes they're just not ready for a relationship, and it scares them. So, you know, we also don't want to get involved with somebody who doesn't want to have a relationship. You know?
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you. I just have time for one more call. I'm going to move over here to a computer one, which I get
Thanks.
Nervous of because I don't know where they're calling from. Good luck, Wendy.
Thank
Keep
you.
Calling
Thank
us.
You.
Hello. This is Cindy.
Hello.
Hello. Who is this?
Hi, Cindy. This is Jada.
Hi, Jada. I'm sorry I didn't pick up earlier, but sometimes they're the 111 numbers. We get really crazy people.
Oh, I'm
sorry. And Nicole's not here to screen the call, so I was afraid,
oh.
you know. She usually
okay.
doesn't let them get on the air, but we've had a couple of real nuts in the last couple of, you know.
I'm sorry.
I was like, all of a sudden my instincts told me this is not a nut. Just let her talk.
Oh, thank you.
Okay,
I just wanted to know if you can tell me if you pick up marriage or future children for me at all.
Okay, that's a good question. And in the laws of attraction, you need to visualize yourself with a husband and children. Do you have that fantasy running
oh,
in your head?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, because the laws of attraction are your fantasy movie life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's two children and there's a husband card. Thank you. He's a really good man. It's going to change your whole life. Have you let go of the relationships from the past that didn't work?
Definitely. I've done all that cleaning up that I need to do. I've done it. It's just a matter of waiting for it to come in.
Good, and it's coming. These are beautiful children, by the way. They're
How many,
old.
Do you know what sex these children are?
There's a boy and a girl in this picture, by the way, and possibly a third child.
Okay.
The third one's a wild card. The two are definite souls that want to be born. They do know who their father is, so they know who this man is. They're older souls, like you and me. You know, I'm an older soul. I was born into great dysfunction to end it, to learn about it, to heal people. If God asked me in the next lifetime, you know, would you like to be born to this dysfunctional couple? I'd say, hell no. You know, so I would be, you know, not me. I would go into soulmate couple, and this is two wise beings that would definitely love. The third one's a wild card. If you want the third child, it's yours. Otherwise, it will come as a grandchild to you. But
okay. What can you tell me about the gentleman?
The gentleman is, he's very loyal,
mm-hmm.
trustworthy. He's handsome. I don't think he's drop-dead gorgeous, but you're going to think he is, okay?
Okay.
He's definitely with your type.
Mm-hmm.
He's mature, by the way. He's not
okay.
an immature man. He wants a relationship. He's ready to commit. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 38.
Okay, because he's close to that age. He's maybe 40. He's ready to finally commit. Your generation is definitely commitment phobics. This
right.
man is definitely ready to stick 2 feet in and make it work.
Okay.
And are you ready for your life to change? Because you're having a little bit of a midlife crisis, so, you know.
I am definitely ready for my life to change. You
okay.
have no idea.
Because it's going to fully change. Just keep your eyes open. You don't have to make a great search for this man, but you do have to get yourself out there and, you know, pay attention wherever you go.
Right.
You should
right.
meet him very soon, by the way. Because these kids are anxious to be born. They're not waiting forever. You know what I mean? Think of them as 8,000 wise, you know, 8,000-year-old wise mm-hmm. beings on a mission. They're,
right.
They're ready.
They're
so,
ready.
And there's
okay.
the wedding card. This is a very unusual alignment of cards. There's the marriage card, you know, actual wedding celebration. There's the two children, possibly three. There's the changing your whole life and a really good man. And the universe says, you're finally healed enough and ready for this great love.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wish you luck. And, you know, thanks for calling us. We're at the end of the show, and I do need to thank those people who've called in and thank
okay.
Nicole for my engineer for teaching me how to use this, so I think I did okay. I didn't hang up on anybody. And good luck to you. And please let me know when your soulmate manifests, because we love to hear that.
I will. Thank you so much, Cindy.
And those people you're welcome. And those people we didn't get to talk to, we will speak to the next time. And Alda, thanks for listening. And speak to you next week. And Nicole, I hope you had a good time tonight. Bye.